Welcome to our service for the fourth Sunday of Easter. Jane and I have been away for a few days, so I'm grateful to Richard, who's our speaker today. We begin with Matt Redman's hugely popular modern worship song, "When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. I'm coming back to the heart of worship."
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all a song in itself is not what you require. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, but it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
And now a time of penitence. I will arise and will go to my Father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Lord, we have sinned against you and done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us, and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A collect for today, the fourth Sunday of Easter. Almighty God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, is the resurrection and the life, raise us who trust in him from the death of sin to the life of righteousness, that we may seek those things which are above, where he reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. The first reading today is from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 36 to 43. In Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping, and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." And then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. And then, calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second Bible reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, beginning at verse 22. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple, in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered round him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
To embrace, be that at our home The Gospel reading today sees Jesus in the temple in Jerusalem during the Feast of the Dedication. It was winter time, and Jesus is walking the temple when he was accosted by a group of Jews. But before we go into what happens next and all the ramifications of those events, I thought it might be good to understand what the Festival of the Dedication was all about. Prior to the year 165 BC, the Jewish people living in Judea were living under the rule of the Greek kings of Damascus. During this time, Seleucid king Antiochus Epiphanes, the Greco-Syrian king, took control of the temple in Jerusalem and forced the Jewish people to abandon their worship of God, their holy customs, the reading of the Torah. He made the Jews bow down to Greek gods. According to ancient records, King Antiochus IV, who was sometimes called the madman, defiled the temple by sacrificing a pig on the altar and spilling its blood on the holy scrolls of Scripture. As a result of severe persecution, a group of four Jewish brothers, led by Judah Maccabee, decided to raise an army of religious freedom fighters. These men of fierce faith and loyalty to God became known as the Maccabees. The small band of warriors fought for 3 years with strength from heaven, until achieving a miraculous victory and deliverance from Greco-Syrian control. After regaining the temple, it was cleansed by the Maccabees, cleared of all Greek idolatry, and readied for rededication. The rededication of the temple to the Lord took place in the year 165 BC, on the 25th day of the Hebrew month called Kislev. Hanukkah is called the Feast of the Dedication because it celebrates the Maccabees' victory over Greek oppression and the rededication of the temple. But Hanukkah is also known as the Festival of Lights, and this is because immediately following the miraculous deliverance, God provided another miracle of provision. In the temple, the eternal flame of God was to stay lit at all times as a symbol of God's presence. But according to tradition, when the temple was rededicated, there's only enough oil left to burn the flame for one day. The rest of the oil had been defiled by the Greeks during their invasion, and it would take a week for new oil to be processed and purified. However, at the rededication, the Maccabees went ahead and set fire to the eternal flame with the remaining supply of oil. Miraculously, God's holy presence caused the flame to burn for 8 days until the new sacred oil was ready for use. Now, it's during the Festival of Dedication that Jesus is confronted by a group of Jews who demand to know if he is the Messiah. How long will you keep us in suspense? Jesus told them, "I have told you, but you do not believe." Jesus tells them that he does his work in the Father's name. "You are not my sheep, so you do not believe. My sheep hear my voice and follow." Many people asking for proof do so for the wrong reasons. Most of these questioners didn't want to follow Jesus in the way that required them to submit to his leadership. They heard that Jesus would declare himself Messiah for perverted or worldly reasons. They, along with everyone else in the Jewish nation, would be delighted to have him drive out the Romans. Those doubters hoped that Jesus would identify himself so they could accuse him of telling lies. The theme of belief and trust runs through the Bible, especially the New Testament. Just as a shepherd protects his sheep, Jesus protects us from eternal harm. While we as believers can expect to suffer on earth, Satan cannot harm our souls or take away our eternal life with God. There are many reasons to be afraid here on earth, because this is the devil's domain. 1 Peter 5 puts it very well. "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Jesus gives us the promise of eternal life to those who believe. Then he further enrages the crowd of Jews by saying, "The Father and I are one." This is the clearest statement of Jesus' divinity that he ever made. Jesus and his Father are not the same person, but they are one in essence and nature. Thus, Jesus is not merely a good teacher. He is God. His claim to be God is unmistakable. The religious leaders wanted to kill him because their laws said that anyone claiming to be God should die. Nothing could persuade them that Jesus' claim was true. Belief and trust in Jesus, that Jesus is the Son of the one true living God in biblical times, was hard enough. Jesus performed many miracles and signs, yet many of those who saw these things happening still failed to grasp the truth that Jesus is God. This was especially true of the religious leaders of the day. they considered that Jesus' claim to divinity to be blasphemous. Our reading from John ends at verse 30, but just listen to what the next three verses say. Once again, the people picked up stones to kill him. Jesus said, "At my Father's direction, I have done many good works. For which one are you going to stone me?" They replied, "We're stoning you not for any good work, but for blasphemy. You, a mere man, claim to be God." We live in a world today where trust is hard to find, and it is also a world in which believing is strongly dependent on seeing. I'm sure we can all recall the story of Doubting Thomas, who refused to believe without seeing and touching. Jesus' reply to this was, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." Believing without seeing is the challenge which we face every day of our Christian lives. It is an easy thing to say, but sometimes hard to do. The world impacts us so much that keeping the perspective that we are children of God is hard to do. We need to regain the trust in Christ that the world does not see. We are very fallible human beings with a great tendency to trust only in things we can see and touch. We need to deepen our relationship with Jesus, to listen to the small, quiet voice in our hearts and souls, and to follow his will, not ours. We need to find that inner child that's within us all. The trust we have in Jesus also has to be completely unconditional. Christ's love for us is unconditional. Our pets, if you have any, give us lust and love and trust that is total without conditions. As human beings, we tend to want evidence before we trust and believe. I think we can all be guilty of the thought, "Lord, if you can sort this out for me, I'll trust and believe in you." We need to make that leap of faith of trust and step out. In the film Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Jones and his dad are seeking the Holy Grail, the cup of Christ. In the film, Indiana comes through several tests only to arrive at an entrance overlooking a canyon. There is no apparent bridge. He has to make a leap of faith and step out, trusting that a bridge will be there. Are we prepared to make that leap of faith and step out for Jesus, trusting and believing that he is there for us, holding us safely in his arms? We need to return to that place of trust that we had when first born. To do that, we need to let go of all the stuff that the modern world dumps on us. We need to remember that Jesus is the light of the world, a lamp to our feet. We need to learn that without Christ in our lives, life can become very difficult. We need to ask Jesus into our lives when the going is good. Jesus should not be our last resort, but our first in everything. In Matthew, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let us get away from all the cynicism and distrust in the world and find within ourselves the child that still exists, the child that trusts, the child that believes, the child that knows Jesus from birth, the child within us, which besides trusting is our well of joy, our well of laughter, our well of compassion. Sometimes we need to get away from it all and take a walk of faith in the woods and pathways and see and sense the presence of Jesus in the trees, in the sky, especially at night. To be in a quiet place where we can open hearts, mind and souls to the divine presence that surrounds us and fill us as nothing else can do is so soul enriching. I will close this talk with a passage of scripture from the Gospel of St. John and a prayer that Jesus prays for future believers. From John 14, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am." And the prayer is from John 17, 20-25. In this prayer, Jesus is praying for all future believers, which means that it is a prayer for all of us. A prayer said 2,000 years ago for all of us. It's wonderful. "I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be as one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me, and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me, because you love me, even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do, and these disciples know you sent me.
Now it's time for our prayers. Our intercessions will be led by Anthea. We begin, as usual, with the Lord's Prayer. Entad yr hynoet yn y nefoedd, sancteiddia dy enw, deled dy dernas gwnela dy wychlis, megis yn y nef fechli ar y ddear hefyd. Dyrawn ni heddiw ein bar abenyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion fel y maddau o nina ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwen ni brofedigaeth, eitha gwared ni rhag drwg. Canu seith o ti o'r dernas, o'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Let us pray. God of love, May we abide in your presence and so abide in your love. As we freely receive your love, let us freely share with others all that you have given us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, for ever and ever. Amen. Father of all, we pray for your church, that it may be a caring, loving, and accepting church. We pray for the outreach of your church, that it may seek out the needy, the outcasts, and the rejected, that love may be revealed in action. We pray for our diocese here in St. David's, for our Bishop Joanna, Archdeacon Eileen, LMA Dean John, and for Matthew, Judith, and Halewyn, and for the lay people, worship leaders, and others who help to keep our churches open. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As the conflict in Ukraine continues into a third month, we pray for all those caught up in the conflict. We pray for the millions who have had to flee their homes and are seeking refuge in foreign countries. We pray for all those who fear for their lives and the lives of their loved ones. We pray for the leaders of the world that they will find ways to a peaceful end to the conflict. And we pray for the work of Christian Aid and their partners as they seek to provide humanitarian aid, food, shelter, clean water, and medical supplies to those in need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, for those who are terminally ill, elderly, or frail, for all who live with a disability or in constant pain. In a moment of quiet, we bring those known to us to you. We also pray for the many who strive to bring comfort and healing to them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In recent weeks, many of us have experienced the loss of someone dear to us. We pray, O Lord, that you will remember in your kingdom all those who have faithfully served you here on earth and who are now at rest. Grant us, with them and with all the faithful departed, the joy of your salvation. We commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to the mercy and protection of God. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Cleanse me from within and make
is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be
the prayer of Easter blessing. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, and work in you always that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this day and always. Amen.